This has been an exciting podcast full of twists and turns and surprises all along the way. And we have another special surprise for you today. In that reading, we have Veronica's husband, many of you may know him, Matthew Leonard, joining us. And the two of them are going to read her lessons on page 95 as we study about Blessed or St. Teresa of Calcutta in Jean Allaire's book, The Four Teresas.
Living the Lessons. Mother Teresa fulfilled the command to love our neighbors because of her great love for Christ. Everything she did was for him and through him. She expressed it well in these words: "He is the life that I want to live. He is the light that I want to radiate. He is the way to the Father. He is the love with which I want to love. He is the joy that I want to share. He is the peace that I want to sow. Jesus is everything to me. Without him, I can do nothing." But how much she managed to do with him. She accomplished all of her work by thinking of it as love in action. "Work without love is a slavery," she insisted. Studying the life and teachings of Mother Teresa helps us learn how we can cultivate and express this same love for Jesus, putting it into concrete action on behalf of those around us.
Love at home. When speaking to audiences from wealthy countries such as the United States, Mother Teresa emphasized that we don't have to go to far-off places in order to put love into action. She challenged her listeners to open their eyes and see the needs of their own next-door neighbors and family members. She encouraged people to love those closest to them first. Mother Teresa believed it is sometimes easier to concern ourselves with the poor who are far away than to turn our attention toward the poor who live right beside us. Many people would prefer to send money to missionaries in India or to go on a mission trip rather than pay a visit to the elderly woman who lives right across the street. There may be a degree of glory associated with exotic, dramatic service, possibly motivating some people to serve for selfish and vain reasons instead of as an act of genuine love. Although God does call some people to do foreign missionary work, Mother Teresa's words about serving the poor at home teach a valuable lesson. Service is not about glory, it's about love. It's not about doing something humanitarian once a year or every other month. It is meant to be a way of life for every Christian. By opening our eyes to the people around us, we begin to see a multitude of ways we can love our neighbors in our daily lives. Our neighbors may not be poor materially, but rather spiritually or emotionally impoverished. Mother Teresa believed that material poverty is the easiest to deal with. Bread and medicine can alleviate that sort of suffering. The loneliness, alienation, and depression that afflict many people, rich and poor alike, are far harder to cure. Spiritual and emotional poverty are especially rampant in the Western world. Where money is abundant, there is often emptiness. Once the longing for money comes, the longing also comes for what money can give: superfluous things, nice rooms, luxuries at the table, more clothes. One thing leads to another, and the result will be endless dissatisfaction. Some people may think their dissatisfaction comes from not having enough things rather than from a spiritual void in their lives. On the other hand, Mother Teresa recognized that those with the greatest material poverty often have incredible riches in other ways.
I'll never forget one day I was walking down the street and saw something moving in the open drain. I removed the dirt and found a human being there. He had been eaten by worms, and after we had brought him to our house, it took us 3 hours to clean him. And this man, who lived such a terrible life of suffering in that open drain, only said, "I have lived like an animal in the street, but I'm going to die like an angel, loved and cared for." And just as we were still praying for him, he looked up at the sister and said, "Sister, I'm going home to God." And he died. There was such a wonderful, beautiful smile on his face. I've never seen a smile like that. It was so wonderful to see the greatness of a man who could speak like that without complaining, without cursing, like an angel. This is the greatness of people who are spiritually rich when they are materially poor. This man was remarkable in his acceptance. He held no grudge or bitterness about his situation. Mother Teresa believed forgiveness is often a starting point in loving God. "Is there a person who has hurt you?" she asked. "You go and forgive that person." "Is there some bitterness?" "Go and say it is forgiven, and you will find him." God cannot be found when we are unforgiving. But even before we forgive others, reconciliation begins with ourselves. It starts by having a clean heart within. A clean heart is able to see God in others. We are called to love our neighbor as ourselves, after all.
Carrying the cross. Mother Teresa often compared the work she did to the sufferings of Jesus on the cross. She didn't seek to gain pity or to make pretenses of great holiness, but she wanted to love others as Jesus loved her. He loved until it hurt, to the very limit of love, the cross. Not one to run from sacrifice and struggle, Mother Teresa embraced it. Striving toward this imitation of Christ freed her to live a life of selfless service. Because she loved Jesus so much, she wanted to share in his passion. She wanted to generously give Jesus whatever he asked of her, and with a big smile. He may quietly ask us to take action that does not come easily or naturally. He may inspire us to visit someone we'd rather not see, to donate something we'd rather not give, or to experience something we'd rather not feel. These requests from Christ invite us to reach beyond our comfort zone and embrace the cross. If we stop short of loving until it hurts, we miss out on the peace that comes through compassionate, voluntary sacrifice. This peace filled Mother Teresa's life. She believed people all around her were reliving the passion of Christ, and she found tremendous grace by joining in this passion through sharing their sufferings. She considered the opportunity to share in Christ's passion to be a wonderful gift. It's not difficult to see that we are sharing in Christ's passion when we encounter physical hardship and poverty. But the suffering of Christ was not just physical. He also experienced intense emotional suffering when people rejected, condemned, mocked, denied, and abandoned him. He experienced spiritual suffering as well, which we glimpse in his cry on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me?" Christ's passion embraced all human suffering and impoverishment. Our own suffering does not always come in dramatic forms. We may encounter small sufferings on a regular basis. The sting of an unkind word, the blow of criticism, the humiliation of being second best. Mother Teresa saw these daily sufferings as opportunities to embrace the cross.
We often pray, "Let me share with you your pain." And yet, when a little spittle or thorn of thoughtlessness is given to us, how we forget that this is the time to share with him his shame and pain. If we could but remember that it is Jesus who gives us the chance through that certain person or circumstance to do something beautiful for his Father. This requires humble acceptance on our part. Mother Teresa gave a simple instruction on how to practice humility in our daily lives. Speak as little as possible of oneself. Mind one's own business. Avoid curiosity. Do not want to manage other people's affairs. Accept contradiction and correction cheerfully. Pass over the mistakes of others. Accept blame when innocent. Yield to the will of others. Accept insults and injuries. Accept being slighted, forgotten, and disliked. Be kind and gentle, even under provocation. Do not seek to be specially loved and admired. Never stand on one's dignity. Yield in discussion, even though one is right. Choose always the hardest.
Her last line summarizes Christ's call to pick up the cross and follow him. Putting love into action is not the easy route. It's easier to expect someone else to do it or to put it off until later when we have more time, more money, more patience, or more motivation. But Mother Teresa reminds us, charity begins today. Today, somebody is suffering. Today, somebody is in the street. Today, somebody is hungry. Our work is for today. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow has not yet come. We see a need, we go to meet it. At least we do something about it. If our love for Jesus is sincere, we will not count the cost of loving others, reconciling with them, or serving them. Mother Teresa understood that hard work, and the suffering that comes with it is part of life. Our devotion to Christ transforms this work and suffering into an act of love. Jesus calls us to pick up our cross and come after him. We show love in action when we answer this call. Even a small sacrifice made in love is more meaningful than a huge gift made without any sincere generosity.
Generous hearts. Mother Teresa wanted people to give from their hearts. For some, giving money is too easy. When wealthy people wanted to help celebrate the Silver Jubilee of one of her homes, she asked them to prepare and deliver 10 meals instead of just giving a financial donation. She said, "Money is not enough. Give your heart to love and spread love wherever you go." She urged people not to give from their abundance, but to give until it hurts. Often Mother Teresa would share stories about children who made simple acts of love and sacrifice. One child decided to give up sugar for 3 days after hearing about a sugar shortage in Calcutta. He filled a small bottle with the sugar he would have normally used and brought the tiny gift to Mother Teresa as an offering for the supplies of the house. Another child preparing for her first Holy Communion told her parents that instead of a fancy dress and presents in honor of her special day, she wanted to give the money her parents would have spent to Mother Teresa. The love of their daughter moved her father to give up drinking and her mother to stop smoking. The money they saved ended up being a gift from the whole family, thanks to this child's selfless love. Mother Teresa also told of a young couple who decided to forego fine wedding clothes and a wedding feast in order to give a large sum of money to feed the poor. And another woman, who was very wealthy, at Mother Teresa's suggestion, began wearing cheaper saris on a regular basis and giving the extra money to the poor. The experience changed this woman's life because it taught her that in sharing, we receive much more than we give.
Mother Teresa's stories were not always of the rich giving to the poor, however. She also liked to tell of the generosity of the poorest of the poor. Once, she hosted a tea party for 2,000 children from the slums. The sisters gave each child a little goodie bag holding several special treats. Some children ate only one sweet because they wanted to take the others back to their brothers and sisters at home. On another occasion, an impoverished mother who received a ration of rice immediately took half of it next door. "They are hungry also," she said. How can we live out the charity Mother Teresa exemplified here and now? By putting Christ at the center of our lives and by joyfully rooting ourselves in prayer and the sacraments, particularly the Eucharist. Christ's flesh and blood are the source of our life, and literally consuming them will keep us connected to him. In turn, loving our neighbors is one of the best ways to show our love for Jesus. When we care for the physical, emotional, or spiritual needs of our neighbors, we are caring for Christ himself.
What a powerful chapter. What a powerful book overall. What stood out with you as far as some important nuggets on how we can all grow in holiness?
One of the things that jumped out at me as I was reading this and thinking about it is a reference to Mother Teresa's saying that she was going to embrace whatever it is that Christ did in her life, whatever he gave or whatever sacrifice was demanded, with a smile. And I thought about that. I'm like, with a smile, you know, in a house full of kids, as you go into this kind of crazy season of Advent, and oftentimes the focus gets put on, we have to get these gifts, we have to do this, we have to do that, we have Christmas programs out the wazoo and all the rest, and you get caught up in this insanity of the season. And sometimes it's a big sacrifice and you're kind of losing sight of what's going on and all that. And Mother Teresa talking about doing all this with a smile on your face, and she's dealing with people who are dying in the streets. I'm just dealing with the frustration of school programs and all the rest of these kinds of things. I can't even do that with a smile on my face. And that was kind of convicting to me. And a few years ago, I was giving a retreat actually for some of the novices in the Midwestern province for the Missionaries of Charity. And one of the things that struck me, they had this house and a little compound in the middle of one of the worst neighborhoods in Memphis, Tennessee. And I'll never forget the fact that all these sisters, in the midst of all the things that they were doing with these poor people around them, every single one of them always had a smile on their face. Always. There was never a time they didn't. And it's something I will never forget. And so that's why that kind of jumped off of the page when I was reading that, and kind of convicted me that I need to have a little more gratitude and joy in even in the midst of the chaos of life.
And just that important point she makes, that love begins at home, you know, that it can be easy to think, oh, you know, if some circumstance were different, or, you know, if I went off to India or something, then I could really be serving Christ. But that it begins right here, you know, with my spouse, my children, my neighbors, you know, the people in my lives right in front of me in my concrete vocation. An image that came to mind to me was John Paul II wrote this beautiful play called The Jeweler's Shop about human love and these three couples. And this one couple, they're struggling in their marriage, the wife and husband. She has this line where she says, "He ceased to live in me and I in him." And they're really struggling. And she goes off and walks in the town, and she hears that the bridegroom is coming, you know, like capital B bridegroom. And she wants to meet him, and she wants to kind of see, who is this perfect bridegroom who's everything her husband is not, and just the frustration, the resentment. And then there's just this really poignant moment where she finally meets the bridegroom, and he has her husband's face. And it just struck me. It was just such a beautiful reminder that, you know, it's, you know, we can always, we look off to the ideal and the, you know, somewhere else, you know, if something was different. And it doesn't mean that there aren't circumstances that sometimes need to change, but just that realization that whatever my vocation is right here, you know, it's the face of my spouse that I'm serving Christ in, or my children and my, yes, that's where we begin.
Well, what's that line from Mother Teresa? Grow where you're planted, you know, and this is one of the beautiful things about Veronica, is that she often grounds me, because I'll fly off to go give such and such conference or talk or whatever, and I'm trying to evangelize the world. And it's easy to forget about what's going on underneath my own roof. And I walk back through the door, and Veronica is very quick to remind me, this is your primary vocation right here. And she's absolutely right. This is what it's all about. The people right around us are the people we're supposed to love first. In fact, if you think about it, it's kind of a microcosm of the new evangelization, because the new evangelization is supposed to be ordered to the Catholics in the pew next to us, like not the outside world. Well, the microcosm of that are the Catholics in our family right next to us. And we're supposed to evangelize them through first being evangelized ourselves, but it's supposed to spread out that way. Mother Teresa is a great reminder of that.
As we make our way through the Advent season, quickly approaching Christmas, we have lots of parties and opportunities where we see people that maybe we don't see on a regular basis, or people in a more casual atmosphere than what we normally see them. I think it's important during this season that we watch what we say, but not only what we say, but how we say the things that we do say.
Yeah, I think one of the really practical ways to deal with that, and Joseph's such a great example of just keeping your mouth shut, right? I have a problem with this. I'm a professional speaker, for crying out loud, but I love banter. I like joking around, and sometimes these things get me in trouble. But one of the things that I found to be effective is that if you pray ahead of time, when you're going into a situation like a giant family gathering where you know that your mouth might run a little bit, say a prayer and just say, "Lord, help me to guard my tongue." You know, my confirmation saint is Saint James. And the major reason why is because in the book of James, he basically slaps you upside the head for saying things you shouldn't, because the tongue is a fire, right? Control it. And I have to pray in order to be able to do that. And Joseph is a great reminder of, you know, silence is golden, because it helps you stay holy.
Matthew, through your Science of Sainthood platform, you've really given your life to teach others how to pray. What are some good, basic, simple foundations that people can use to get started?
I would just talk to the Lord like I would to you guys and just say, "Lord Jesus, I'm going into this situation. I need help keeping my mouth shut. You know, help me not to say things to rankle people or to needle them, or, you know, whatever. I need your grace to do it. And thank you." And I might close it with a Hail Mary or something like that, but it's as easy as just asking the Lord to give you the grace to do it. It's not rocket science.
Reading this chapter on Mother Teresa really kind of gives you that conviction. It puts it heavy on your heart to work on humility. And she has some of the best quotes.
She does. And the reason why this chapter on humility is so convicting because humility is the taproot of all the virtues, right? So just like pride is what brings us down, humility is the taproot of all the virtues that lift us up. And if you think of the image of like a tree and you see the trunk and you see the branches coming off of it, the same thing that you see above ground is going on underground. And there's a taproot that goes down and feeds the tree. That taproot is humility. And we have to have that. If you can't grow in what it is that Mother Teresa is talking about here, accepting insults and injuries, accept being slighted, forgotten, and disliked, you know, do not seek to be specially loved and admired. I mean, all these things are so difficult, and yet they till the soil that allows the grace that the Lord gives us to grow into the tree of virtues that we need in order to make progress in the spiritual life.
Right. And that's also the source of Mother Teresa and all of her nuns' deep peace and joy, because it's when we don't do all those things that we, you know, we're all riled up and anxious, you know, because, you know, getting angry because we've been slighted or forgotten or, you know, but that it's, if we let go of that, if we strive for humility, there's that deep peace and joy that comes from sort of letting go of all those concerns and just kind of stripping ourselves of that attachment to all those things that get us so riled up and anxious, and just be able to just kind of laugh at ourselves and hand it to God and not worry about all of those concerns.
Personally speaking, it's very difficult for me to go into these family situations with my wife by my side, because she's the queen of controlling her tongue and I'm terrible at it. So it's even more humbling to be next to her.
No, not at all.
Isn't it amazing when God puts two people together from before eternity? Like, he already knew that balance needed to be there, Matthew. I think the thing that I definitely wanted to touch on, the part on generous hearts, like to read that section, especially at this time of year, and again, anytime you're listening to this, where, you know, Mother Teresa gives these examples of like these little children. I mean, it's like the widow's mite, giving out not of your abundance, you know, to take this couple paragraphs on, I don't know if it's the same page in the PDF, but in the book, it's 101. Where Mother Teresa gives these examples, what can we do and pray with this season of our life, how we can not give out of our excess, but to really pick something, whether it's our time or our treasure, or I guess our talent, and give something where it hurts, where it's a sacrifice. You know, sometimes we go and we buy those new gifts for the, you know, Toys for Tots and things like that. But why not like give something that our child really likes away and not replace it? You know, these are the hard things that I think when you stop and kind of pray with some of these words, whether it's scripture or just a spiritual reading, they can really have a powerful action on us, and God's grace can really come down and move us to, you know, goodness.
Well, I think the part of the key you hit on first is that for most of us, we may not be moved to these kinds of selfless gifts without spending time in prayer first. You know, I mean, the active life has to flow out of the contemplative life. And so the more time you spend in prayer, I would say that's the first priority, right? Spend time in prayer so that you can draw in closeness to the Lord, and he can show you those things, those kinds of sacrifices that he wants you to make. Because I don't think that every sacrifice should be made by every person. There are things that are appropriate to some and not to others. And some where it's going to hurt more than it might hurt others as far as a pain point on the sacrificial nature of it. And so spend the time with the Lord and ask him, flat out, just ask him, Lord, where do you want me to sacrifice? What do you want me to do? And give me the grace to be able to do it. Because prayer isn't just talking. It necessitates transformation and action in our lives. And these stories that are in the book here of these small children, notice a lot of one of the paragraphs is focused on children. What does Jesus say? Unless you become like a child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. It's these children who are close to the heart of Jesus who are willing to give these things up. And this is what you and I have to become like as well.
You know, coming off, obviously, the pandemic has really done a lot of destruction, of course, to people's lives. But the beauty is that our faith is so rich and beautiful.
Yeah, I'd also say that notice she says we root ourselves in prayer in the sacraments, particularly the Eucharist. And if Christ's flesh and blood really are the source of our lives, if you're a person, you know, to your point, Mary Beth, who's back in the saddle and you're going to Mass and you're kind of past the pandemic thing, so to speak, if you have an opportunity to get to Jesus Christ more often than once a week and you don't, look what you're leaving on the table. You're leaving the source of life on the table. And if we're supposed to sacrifice ourselves, as we were just talking about a moment ago, of giving up things, you know, not just in Advent, but all the time, how do you make a sacrifice if you're not making a sacrifice of your life? The Eucharist is the source of our ability to make our lives a sacrifice because we're participating in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ every time we do it. We're not just standing by and watching what's going on. We're participating in that Eucharistic sacrifice. If you have an opportunity to get to it more than once a week, by all means, do it. That will change your life.
It is time we wrap up for today. I want to say thank you so much to everybody who's made so much time and commitment to help us produce this podcast. We appreciate your help and your support. Tomorrow, we get started back on Blessed Teresa of Calcutta in the book on page 103. We're going to look at the points of consideration.